welcome to the Dirt Reporters for the week of April 24th, 2024. I'm Kevin Kovac. I'm joined by Kyle McFadden, my colleague there at Dirt on Dirt, and making his grand return to the Dirt Reporters for the first time since 2023 is our own Todd Turner, the managing editor of Dirt on Dirt. Todd, welcome back. You're on sabbatical for the beginning of the Flow Racing, Flow Sports sabbatical for the first third of the year. Now you're back, and great to have you back on the podcast. How does it feel to be back here, joining us and seeing our faces on the podcast?
It's good to be back. I've missed you. And I must say, when I listened to the podcast before and I would comment, I didn't understand why you all were ignoring me. And then I realized I was listening to it after the fact. But I'm sure I had some good points that would have fit in there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we missed you. We need that. He is the godfather of dirt late model racing, and he's also going into the Hall of Fame in just a few months. So he's working on his. He had time to work on his speech to try to match up with James Essex's hour long speech that he did when he was went into the Hall of Fame. So we'll be looking forward to that, the North South 100 this year, come August, the Hall of Fame inductions. Well, this weekend was the biggest race was the Talladega short track was having the Alabama Gang 100 for the World of Outlaws. Didn't go as planned. Last year I went to that show, and I was the most pleasantly surprised race I'd gone to almost ever, really. I mean, it was the South. It's going to take longer. Everybody was telling me, yeah, it's and a lot of Talladega that I'd seen is the Ice Bowl afternoon racing. But, man, both nights last year ended early. They ran the shows off well. They adjusted the schedule, and the racing was really good with the wall outside of turns one and two. So I didn't go down there to cover it this year, but where I was very interested in how the second annual Alabama Gang 100 would be. A little bit fewer cars. They were over 60 last year. They were down into the mid 40s this year, but still a great field. Unfortunately, the weather got them bad, and this is something that really we have to. It's something to talk about a little bit where, like, on Friday night, they had the Twin 20 preliminary semi features. And then the second one, the rain's coming. It started raining on lap 16. They called it right there, checkered it right there. Looked like it was going to pour. And then it didn't pour. And they were able to run the sprint car features, racing after that. So, I mean, thoughts on that? Let's start right off with Todd, because we're going to throw him right back into the fire here, because he's been gone for a while. But man, that's one of those situations where it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't for a race director, a series director like Steve Francis.
Yeah, I feel sorry for all those people that make those decisions. I mean, when you're at a house and you're wondering whether to run to the car because you're going to go to the store and it's raining, it's no big deal. It's just affecting you. But when you're making those decisions and trying to predict the weather in some ways, and all these other moving parts and all these fans and drivers and all that, it's a no-win situation. I mean, I think it's unfortunate. I saw a separate race this weekend that had a similar situation. I feel sorry for those people that have to make these decisions and then just take this, the peanut gallery just goes crazy, Oh, you should have done this. Oh, you should have done that. And yeah, you can second guess it, but the weather is the weather. And, and I appreciate that they, did their best with that. And do we all hope that they would have got the weekend in for sure. But sometimes the timing of that is just at the worst. And for this weekend, they certainly had terrible timing with the weather.
Yeah, if you had looked at that radar during that second semi-feature, man, it looked like a gigantic thing of red and yellows coming right for the track, making a beeline for the track. So as soon as you get the first drops, you're thinking this is going to be it. And, of course, it didn't hit, and it just missed, and they were able to run. So that gets everyone angry, especially those guys Bobby Pierce was one. He finished fourth in that race. He had to finish top three to lock into the top six redraw for Saturday's race. And he was coming on. He didn't get his chance to do it, to get into that top three. But, hey, let's mention the winners, though, too. Two pretty cool winners of those races were Dylan Knowles and Max McLaughlin. Both guys that haven't raced much World of Outlaws. Dylan Knowles is a late model driver. He's run a lot of crate racing and done some and done a few races in a super on the national level. But that was his first time. It's not an official win because it was a semi feature split field. But he got a win. And Max McLaughlin, a big block modified guy from he lives down in North Carolina, but from the Northeast. And he was able to get his first checkered flag in a late model. I mean, he's only run, I think, 5-6 events total, weekend actual trips to a racetrack for a late model in his career so far. So that's pretty good, him and the G.R. Smith team. Saturday night, though, yeah, more trouble there with the weather. You could see the weather forecast was calling for rain all the way up to – it was probably starting around 9 o'clock, and it was going to go from there pretty heavily. The series and the track moved the start time up a little bit to 6:30, but they weren't able to get the feature in. Racing they were getting ready for the feature, and then it rains. Another bummer, right, Kyle? I know you were monitoring it. You were going to write the story for Saturday's race. You're monitoring it from afar, and again, you can't predict perfectly all the time what's going to happen. You think you had till 9 o'clock. It ended up being a little after 8 that the rain came.
Yeah, again, it's just a difficult decision, and it's like you can't control Mother Nature, and that was a good field too. It was going to shape up to be definitely something similar to last year. I mean, last year's race, if you look back to it, Bobby Pierce almost had that thing won. I think it was up the lap 48, and then he had a tire come off or wheel come off, or maybe even his tire went flat. And which enabled Brandon Overton to win that race. And then Tanner English was also in the mix too. So you would have to think that it was going to be another one of those, close finishes where multiple guys are going to be up in the mix. But it's if you want a rainout, as a national series, you want it to be, earlier in the week. Not that rainouts are a good thing, but they aren't a bad thing. Like a few rainouts a year in advance, it's not a terrible thing for a series to happen. I know that no tracks like benefit from that, but we all know that rainouts happen, and it's unfortunate. And we all know this time of year in April, those are very liable to happen. But hopefully the rain's behind us here, especially this upcoming weekend at Georgetown, Port Royal, and Hagerstown, where it seems at least one of those races gets rained out almost every year, but looking good for this weekend, thank goodness, at the moment. So, yeah.
Yeah, everybody needs some good weather this weekend, right? I know the Outlaws definitely will like it. Todd, you looked at that forecast before the race, and there's people, now when rain does come in around a little after 8 o'clock, when they did try to get the race cars out there, and then everybody has started loading up actually after the B main, because it started sprinkling a little bit during the B, and then they're like, let's go blow the horn. They started unloading again, and then it started raining again. It's just like you want to get it in, but what do you? I know people will look at it and been like, well, why didn't they start earlier? Why didn't they get rid of hot laps? Why did they run time trials again? I mean, and actually, that was two things that they didn't do last year. I look back when I was at that Alabama game, they didn't have hot laps on Saturday. They scratched the hot laps. They didn't have time trials a second time, which usually you don't for double shows like that. So that was a good, probably an hour that probably would have been saved if they could have just scrapped that, those two, and you just ran into the heats. But I mean, again, it's another one, what could we do? But it's hard to do it. It's hard to do it when you don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you look back at those things, and if we could have or should have or would have done this. I am a little confused by the time trials on the second night of this style format. Yeah, mm-hmm. Apparently that was a thing, but it seems like that's the reason why you do a preliminary night in that style, to avoid having to run time trials again. So anyway, it all doesn't matter. They're going to have to go back. I mean, it's going to work out. Maybe they're going to have another, that'll be part of another multi-race weekend when they come back in September. It's kind of a bummer for Max and Dylan, those guys who won those semi-features. Dylan maybe not as much a different, but Max will come back a very different driver likely than he is now, being such a a novice to the late models. So we'll see what happens. But it is neat. I agree, those two winners. You know, we often get a random national touring series winner here and there, but to have two on the same night like that was particularly noteworthy.
Yeah, you don't usually notice that. You don't have like you said, like one time somebody will pop in there, but yeah, both of them were really, they were really excited to win that. It's too bad it's not a real, on the record book as an outlaw win. But for those guys, they know that they beat some damn good racers in their each of their races. And I mean, Brandon Overton was right behind them, and other, and Bobby Pierce was a fourth place finisher in the Rain Shorten race. So that's going to do a lot for their confidence, I'm sure, for both of those guys to come back. I mean, that is a really good point on Max. I mean, as long as everything goes well this season and he's able to continue on with the tour, they don't get any bad things. But I think they have they look pretty strong so far. I mean, he will be. That's going to be a lot more. It might be better for him to come back in September when they run in September. It's a Sunday, September 15th. That they'll be back to race the night after Sonoma. And by the way, Rome Speedway in Georgia was supposed to have the September 15th date. And that's some of the little things that go on behind the scenes with the national tour. They gave up their date so that the Outlaws could go back to Talladega to have that, be in that area. They don't have to make a special trip back down there. That's kind of noble for a racetrack to give up a date so another track could, run and make it better for the series. But of course we can't talk about the winner on Saturday. We will have to wait to September for that one. Let's just a quick little mention of some other things that might've happened this weekend that kind of caught our eye. Like Kyle, I mean, was there another race, another something that happened out on the racetrack, a news item that you thought was pretty interesting from the past weekend?
I did make my way up to Port Royal for their weekly show. They had 38 supers there, which is quite noteworthy too, in and of itself. Greg Satterley won over Rick Eckerd, and it was a good field. And so getting up there just to, get a lay of the land on the locals at Port Royal before Lucas makes their way back into town there. And so nothing really special happened there. Greg Satterley did what he usually does at Port Royal. But outside of that, Cameron Marler's, $10,000 win on the Spring Nationals Tour was also very noteworthy too. First ever series victory for him on the mini tours. So shout out to Mikey's little brother there.
Yeah, there's a lot. I thought I was at Lake Cumberland also in Kentucky, which is like it's not in the Marler family's home state, but I know the Marler family has a lot of wins over there. I think everyone in the family's won there, right? I mean, right, Todd, I mean, imagine it seems like that's basically the Marler's home track. And I know the Marler's father's even won races over there.
Yeah, that's if a Marler's not in victory lane in one of the divisions, it's usually I'm not sure they actually race. So yeah, that is the Marler's stomping grounds for sure.
Yeah, and anything else, Todd, from the weekend that kind of stuck out to you that happened?
I guess Ross Bales went in down there. You had that dispatch about him talking about him getting going again, wondering if he still had it. That was probably one of the other, not very many super late model races, but that was probably the other most noteworthy one.
Yeah, that was a really neat story, actually, that Ross is really, he got emotional in victory lane. I mean, we've seen that a few times this year where some drivers that, they won for the first time in a while and they feel it that, man, holy cow. I wasn't sure if I was getting back here again. And they, you could hear it in their voice. And Ross, that's a pretty, pretty neat deal there where he struggled a lot in speed weeks with whether he was running, he ran the Hatcher car and he also ran the Warrior House car and didn't really get good finishes. But ever since then, he's been running Joey Malone's car, the Longhorn number 87 back to his regular number. And if everyone doesn't know who Joey Malone is, he's a father of Becca Malone. If you remember back at the World Short Track Championships back at Charlotte back in October, remember that 11-year-old kid who won in his first late model start in the 602 crate division? That's Joey's father. And I can still remember that Steve Francis ran in that, he came back for his first race in quite a while and he ran that weekend and Francis was like, and I seen him at the, you know, at the Outlaw race the week after the world final. And I'm like, hey, how'd it go, Steve? He goes, well, got a top 10, but I did get beat by an 11-year-old. So I guess Francis, he's getting younger and younger, but that Beckham Malone, he also won at Ultimate Motorsports Park in the 604 crates on Saturday night. So it was kind of a sweep for the, you know, Ross has been helping him out a little bit as kind of a crew chief type. And now he's racing one of the, a team car. Pretty neat story there. Pretty good combo. So again, it wasn't a great weekend for a lot of racing. We want to go talk to Todd here. This is kind of a topic that we want to bring him in on for his return to the podcast is Todd. I mean, you were on a sabbatical for 3 months. I mean, first of all, what did you do during the sabbatical? You know, I mean, I know you did peek. You were peeking in at Dirt on Dirt during this whole time as we tried to hold down the fort. But was there anything interesting that you did away from racing that you got to do? You're supposed to do something, right?
Yeah, I guess I'm supposed to do something. I will say it is a generous thing with Flow Racing where after a certain length of time, you get a 3 month sabbatical, and it was quite generous. It was hard to be purposeful about getting away from racing because I think, you know, if I didn't want to stay too attached to it. So mostly I spent time traveling and visiting friends and nephews and nieces who live further away who I don't normally get to see. My wife Julie and I got away on a long weekend trip. We went to Sedona, went to Cooperstown, New York with another friend. So mostly I just tried to do things that I wasn't am not normally able to do. And just relax a little bit and like get away a little bit from the day after day of racing. And I guess that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. I didn't completely go cold turkey because I've often wondered that. I've wondered, even not as as somebody who works in the sport, but if you're a fan of a certain sport, completely turning it off. I always wonder if that's possible or whether you could, you have to fill that time and those interests with something else. So it was a little interesting to kind of be forced to go through that in a way and to see how I reacted.
Yeah, I'm wondering, I don't know how I could like not even pay attention to any dirt track racing going on. You know, we complain about it. We moan about it sometimes and some late nights and stuff and some stuff that goes on, but man, if we weren't like paying attention to what was going on, at least, even if we're not covering it, I would feel very weird. You know, I don't have to go to every race, you know, like Kyle here. I mean, I know Kyle will try to go to every race still. He's young, you know, he's got them young legs and young eyes and young brains. So
I haven't missed a practice.
Yeah. He'll want to go to practice. Right, Todd? I mean, how about that? Kyle, yeah. I mean, what's the attraction of the practice nights for you? You know,
Weed Wigs and Bobo every practice night this year. So, yes.
And he was going to go to the Farmer City practice night also. And I thought, Todd, when's the last time you've been to a practice night? I mean, maybe out in New Mexico, something like that, right?
Yeah. I think at the Wild West Shootout, just because I'm already there and way away from
right.
Home, so I normally go. But usually I do skip the practice nights. Anyway, it was tricky to, I found myself at the very beginning. Of course, I was trying to line things up with you guys, make sure everything's good to go. Clearly this is the time of year when I can most easily do it. I did look back and realize if I would have tried to take a long stretch of break in the middle of the summer or something, I think that would have been almost impossible. So it was a time when, you know, obviously Speed Weeks and the Wild West Shootout. Now, I did watch some of those races, and I clearly kind of had to keep up in some way so I didn't show up again and not realize who was driving the Rocket Casey house car or something like that.
Right.
So I did tune in a little bit to keep up, but I was purposeful about not, you know, every little result and every little keeping up with pictures or watching every video and stuff. And that was I did find myself where I was pulled away from that a little bit. And it was strange to to not be aware of some things. Like even, I must say, even on this podcast today, maybe I've heard a few things that I didn't know about because, you know, when I wasn't in the day-to-day grind like I have been the last 20-something years in this sport, you know, you miss out on that stuff. And really, I kind of have two ways to look at that. One of those, it's kind of nice to not be involved in every little minutia of it. But then there is something about when I am doing it, I'm kind of back in the groove now to be in the know about every little thing, or like this, you know, a race winner at some random track, or some interesting tidbit or story. I do like to know all that stuff. So, so yeah, I can kind of see both sides of it, but it was an interesting experiment, I guess, to be away for such a long stretch.
How about like when that big news week happened, you know, the when we had the Rocket Chassis house car situation? But well, I mean, it actually started with the tire situation, you know, with Bobby Pierce and Devin Moran and Kyle Bronson. That broke first. But while that was breaking, we kind of were hearing the word about Hudson O'Neill leaving the Rocket house car. It hadn't come out yet publicly, but we were hearing it. So like where were you at? Like, we all remember where we were at when that was going on. Like, we're like, what? I mean, this is April Fool's Day. We're checking the calendar. But where, how did you process that from afar, I guess?
I will say the tire stuff, I was glad to not be a part of that, because that stuff
is that's probably so right. Yes.
Over, right, Kyle? I don't know how many times over the years that I've dealt with those that are so unpalatable for everybody. And the O'Neill thing, I mean, I'm just like everybody else, coming kind of out of left field. It was, and I was still privy to seeing some of the conversations you guys were having, or seeing a random email, or looking up news on my own. And so I did kind of look into that. I mean, it was hard to believe it was happening, no matter what, no matter if I was working or not. But again, I try not to get down too much into it, and just be aware of what's going on, and try to soak it up. I appreciate Hudson not making a decision on exactly what he's going to do until I got back. that was helpful. So
yeah, we're still waiting on that. So we haven't figured that one out yet. We'd always see as a spoiler that says Longhorn so far in a black car. So he hasn't announced that, but we're waiting. Maybe by time where this is up and posted, maybe we'll have a word on that, but not yet. Not as we record this. Kyle, how about question for you too? How many times do you think that Todd looked at the website, maybe poked his nose in there and been like, what the hell is that headline? You know, like, I mean, when we wrote a headline or something, you know, like, right. I mean, I was constantly worried about that. Right, Kyle?
No, it's like Todd's on my left shoulder here. Like, okay, you know, tighten that up a little bit, or good job. You know, like, that's exactly what I would do. What would Todd do? WWTD. So, but no, I mean, I felt like for the most part, we did a pretty good job at headlines. Would you say, Kevin or Todd? That's probably a question for Todd.
Yeah. Like, cause we're like, we get to the, yeah. Oh, sorry, Todd. Go ahead. Todd.
No, go ahead, Kevin.
Well, we're always thinking. Oh, we're on top of each other. Sorry about that. You know, I'll just say real quick. We're always thinking about the headlines like Ty would try to write. I mean, especially like how they fit. Like if you look at our website, the main breaking headline, you try to make sure. Like when I would hit that, like on a perfect, you know, two lines, the words go perfectly on both. That's like, man, I wanted to go have a beer or something, because it's like, I mean, it perfectly. Todd can seem like he can do that in his sleep, you know, just like, you know, the exact number of letters or what letters will make that perfect, you know. So, you know, we got more practice on that. But yeah, Todd, I'm sure you did see some headlines. You'd be like, I would have rather written something different than that, right?
Occasionally, I would say it was a good practice of, no matter what job you do, no matter what you do and who you work with and whatever, to be a little bit removed from it and just to say, sometimes things are okay. Because I can certainly I might have been accused of being a perfectionist now and again by my wife and others, maybe everybody in the room. And sometimes you just got to realize that's fine the way it is. Or a lot of things as I go through the website and I'm changing and kind of massaging in a way, you know, a lot of those things can go undone. I'm just, but me, that's my, that is my personality, is to get in there and tweak a headline, adjust a picture, add something to the slideshow, reorder what shows up on the website, all those things. And part of that is just my nature. And it was probably a good realization to kind of pull away from that a little bit, and just know that things are okay. Another thing about that was important for all of you all, I think, and Aaron Clay maybe more so, because I think he probably took more of the brunt of things that I wasn't doing, is that we all kind of learned more, we all kind of trained each other on more things so that we're all a little more capable. And I think that was a good lesson too, on top of all that. One, you're not indispensable, and two, somebody else might be able to do it better than you can. So it was good to see everything humming along while I was gone.
Yeah, we made it 3 months, but man, it was like, it really did go fast. I don't know if it went as fast as, you know, it seemed like, I mean, for us, it did seem like it went pretty fast, right, Kyle? We had racing, you know, you went to the Wild West Shootout. We both did Speed Week stuff, you know, and then March was like, fortunately, it really wasn't that busy. I mean, that's why Todd did pick that stretch of time, because until March, most of the time, you know, three quarters of the races are rained out. So, but we made it, and then we got to that April 1st, and we're like, no, that's no April Fools. Todd's back, you know?
Yeah, no, I felt like it went as quickly as it probably could have. It was nice to have a load at January, and then February, you know, have speed weeks through East Bay, and then even that extra weekend at Golden Isles too, where Lucas went back there. And then I feel like it was like not even 2 weeks after that, it was the Hudson O'Neill tire gate story that, you know, dropped all in the same week. So it was, between all of that, it certainly went quick. But I did have a question here for you, Todd. I was just wondering when the last time you felt that disengaged or not that involved in the sport. It's had to be quite a bit or a long while.
Yeah, it was I can tell you exactly when it was. 1997, I guess. When I first started reporting and doing a lot of online work, kind of as a freelancer on my own, I was really into it for about 2.5 years. And then I changed jobs and some things were going on. And it was right before I got hired by National Dirt Digest. I was kind of out of it for a number of months. And it was a little bit of relief, because I was kind of working a full-time job and trying to do the racing stuff. So I kind of took a break. And it was odd to go to the track then and not to have a purpose or whatever. And I did feel, I feel like I was missing something. So not too long later, National Dirt Digest had an opening and got their publication started. And I went there and moved to North Carolina and started that job, which has led to all the other jobs I've had in racing. So that was the last time when I've really kind of been out of it in a way. I like being in it, I think, obviously. I all the time that I'm, right. I'm in here. And I think I think the sabbatical also gave me a little preview of maybe retirement or what things will be like when you are away from something. So that was a nice little maybe peek into that. And I think I'll be able to handle it fine. And I think that's a number of years away, but it was a good experience to kind of feel all that out.
Yeah. Todd's only 35, so we got a lot of years before he's retired. So,
no we don't gray have hair. To, let, no gray
that's
hair.
Right. He just prematurely lost his his hair there. That's all. So we have him for a while, but he'll be there, and we're glad to have him. I know that this is something that that Kyle actually went through in February. But did you get any of that? What's it called? FOMO, right? Is that what it's called? Fear of missing out, right? You know, that's when Kyle jetted back down to East Bay for the finale at the Winter Nationals, because he texted me and he goes, I have too much FOMO. And I'm like, what the hell is he talking about? You know, like I didn't even know what that what meant. I had to go to like the Urban Dictionary or whatever online and be like, FOMO, what is that? Oh, fear of missing out. Oh, okay. There we go. But did Todd, did you have anything that where you did kind of feel that during Speed Week, maybe in East Bay, like for the finale, could you have been there or have you been away from it? Like, I mean, you haven't covered as many races in person in the last year. So you've been able to like sneak away a little bit from having to be there.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that. Now, I will say if East Bay wouldn't have this fall thing scheduled,
done,
that might have been. To know that East Bay would, if it would have been doing its last racing there at Speed Weeks, that would have been a little tougher. But no, I really didn't. I think I'm pretty good at kind of disconnecting a little bit. And as you say, you know, me, you know, if I was an every weekend guy, I think it would have been a little tougher. But going to you know, fewer races than I have in the past, it was a little easier to disconnect.
Yeah, it wasn't Eldora in this stretch, and although you haven't gone to every Eldora, you've been able to like wean yourself off of Eldora even a little bit after a long stretch. I mean, right now I'm not sure if I can. I mean, I've been to every Dream, I guess, since 07, every World but one since 04. So that's a long time, you know. And now I might have a little FOMO if I missed, like, next year. I might have to miss at least one of the days, I think, because Kale will be, well, the Dream. Kale's graduating next year. I think he is. I mean, he should be, you know. So that's going to fall. I believe it'll fall right in the graduation. So I'm already thinking of that. I'm like, man, I might miss one of the days of the Dream at least, you know, for his graduation, because I think I might have to go to that one. So, if it's the Eldora one that would kind of get me, but fortunately you didn't have to worry about Eldora being in the middle of that. I'm sure you didn't, although we would have loved to have had you in the house, Volusia, you know, Todd, because, you know, how about this? Did you watch any of our, you know, our drive homes during Speed Weeks? I'm sure you tuned in there, right?
I did watch some drive homes, especially the last one. That was, I was encouraged.
Wasn't that very emotional, right? Man, it was very emotional. Yes.
I was prepared for that a little bit, that's a fun thing to kind of keep up, a great thing to keep up with all the Speed Weeks without having to watch every single minute of it, was to catch up with the drive home.
So I guess, Todd, do you recommend a sabbatical for everyone? Everyone should have a sabbatical, right? So.
I think it's healthy. It's good. It's a nice, a nice reminder to maybe get away a little bit sometimes, that you're not irreplaceable, that all those things. It's funny with my friends, you know, and non-racing friends, you know, I'd get different reactions. Some people would be like, oh my goodness, that's great, I would love that. And the other people are like, I really couldn't. Yeah, I don't want to get away. I'd rather just keep working. So I can see it's both sides of it. But it was a little bit of a challenge to know how to approach it in the best way. But overall, I was appreciative of it. I enjoyed it. It wasn't too long. I wondered about it at the very end if I wouldn't want to come back because I was having such a great time. But it seemed like about
the out right there partying time. All the time, right? Huh?
And I kind of eased back into it. So it all worked out. It was an interesting experience, and I really enjoyed it overall.
Okay, well, that's kind of where will be so then what will be your first race back? I believe, is it this weekend? I saw you on the credential list for Smoky Mountain, possibly. Already jump back in there and get back into the racing?
I've got to dive back in. That looks like a good one, so I'll do that. I've actually been looking at the rest of my schedules and seeing what races I can steal from you two, and we'll have to talk about those later. But I look forward to going back the Eldora for the Dream. Of course, we'll be at the North South together, Kevin, it sounds like.
Yeah, I'm so coming. You're going in the Hall of Fame. I got to see this in person, so that's for sure.
I'm mapping out the rest of my schedule and looking forward to getting back to some of my favorite tracks for sure.
Right, well, sounds good. Again, we're glad to have Todd back. Everyone could see his stuff. He'll be writing his he's gonna be writing the weekly notebook, right, of the weekly guys. I think that's what's gonna be your definitely your weekly stuff. And maybe we'll see him this weekend at Smoky Mountain Speedway if the weather's good. He'll be covering the Hunt the Front race this weekend if all's well. So everyone will have a. So everyone at the Hunt the Front race, Joshua Joyner, get it together, have a big party for welcome back to Todd. So we'll have fun there. So we'll close out this weekend. We'll go with the one more thing. Kyle, you want to start off?
Yeah, for sure. Tanner English, he was I'm sure for those who know, he was in the Coltman Farms Racing or one of their rides over the weekend at Talladega. It's supposed to be a weekend deal for now, but have a hunch that it could lead to more races, and so we'll just have to watch and see what develops there. But for now, it's looks like it's just a weekend by weekend deal until they say otherwise. So good for Tanner, possibly there. But also too, already mentioned it, but Georgetown, Hagerstown, and Port Royal, they're hosting Lucas Oil races this weekend. I'll be there for all three. And then, Kevin, I think you're going to be there on Friday, right, at Georgetown. So looking forward to that.
And that's actually what I'll mention for one more thing is Georgetown's race. Again, that one guy that, man, it would really be one heck of a story if this guy could win the Melvin Joseph Memorial there on Friday night. And that's Ross Robinson, the local. He's from Georgetown. Ross, he's emotional all the time. I mean, like, Ross will get emotional just with, like, I mean, I saw Ross get emotional when Dalton Wilson won the race, his first race down at East Bay back in February. He came over while I was talking to Dalton, and I mean, and he started tearing up a little bit congratulating Dalton on winning his first Lucas race. So can you imagine what it would be like if Ross could win at his home racetrack? I mean, just, he lives basically right down the street, and it'd be his first Lucas Oil win. I mean, that would really, really be a heck of a story. I'm kind of rooting for the story, hopefully. So come on, Ross, get it done. He's coming in on a good, you know, get some confidence too, because he just won at Georgetown a race last month, and he also won his first ever at Port Royal in between. So he's won a few races during the break from Lucas Oil action. So, you know, we'll be rooting for Ross like that again. Us journalists, we root for a story, and that would be one heck of a good one if he's able to get it on Friday night. And $19,000 too, that'd be a heck of a payday for him. Todd, you know, one more thing to close us out.
Yeah, my thing came about just by catching sight of a picture from Ultimate Motorsports Park there in Elkin, North Carolina. It was looked like some type of ceremony where they'd given a driver named Bill Tesh a plaque. And so I investigated a little bit, and as it turns out, so Bill has been racing forever. I remember seeing his name for years and years. I guess he started racing the year I was born, 1966. So he's raced a long time. He's 78 now, still racing. Won a track championship at With Raceway last year. And the plaque they were giving him at the Elkin, North Carolina track was for his 400th start at a race at that one racetrack in Elkin, which is 400 is a lot. That's a big number, and he has lots of other races in between there. But that's cool that they recognized Bill, who's still racing all these years later and still competitive. So that was kind of neat, and I'll have a little note about that in the weekly notebook this week as well.
All right. Congrats to him. I mean, a nice little honor that he got there at Ultimate Motorsports Park. And we'll look forward to reading that and what Todd has to say about that. So, again, this is Dirt Reporters for the week of April 24th. Have plenty of stuff to watch this weekend. I mean, we have the Mars races on Flow racing. There'll also be the Lucas Oil weekend, three straight at big half miles in the Northeast here in the Mid-Atlantic region. You don't get three half miles in a row very often on the Lucas Oil Series or Outlaw Tour. So it'll be something unique for everybody to watch our big racing. And we do have good racing on big tracks in the Northeast, right, Kyle? So
absolutely.
Everybody tune
Don't
in to that.
On the big
yep.
Don't sleep on them.
That's right. So tune in for that, and also check out our coverage over the weekend. And we'll see you right back here for Dirt Reporters next week.
Yeah.